You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think every show that we give you here on TPC is a fantastic show. And this show tonight is no exception, with the great Sam Dixon in the last hour telling you and us about his time spent in Russia during the month of July. Wonderful radio, the likes of which you will not get on any other program on the AM dial. But if I had to tell you, if I had to say one show that may have been our best ever, it happened a year ago this weekend. It was our show live from Charlottesville. Now, I was actually here in the studio here in Tennessee, along with Keith Alexander. We anchored that show. Eddie the Bombardier Miller was our man on the ground. We dispatched him to cover the event in Charlottesville for our network and for this program. But that show, which was broadcast just a couple of hours after the incidents that took place at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. So much truth, so much honesty, so much firsthand accounting from people who were there, not people who are offering your opinions of what happened, but people who were on the ground. I think it was our best show ever, and it happened a year ago tonight. And Eddie was on the ground there. We had six featured guests, all of whom were there, and they included Dr. Michael Hill of the League of the South, Evan McLaren, then of the National Policy Institute, Henrik Palmgren of Red Eyes, David Duke, Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent, and Simon Roche of Sightlanders. All six of those men live on the ground in Charlottesville to give you a firsthand eyewitness testimony of what exactly happened versus that of the mainstream establishment media spin. We alternated each segment between Eddie live on the ground with people he was bringing on, people just happened to be standing around him at that moment, and then each of our six featured guests of that night that may have been, ladies and gentlemen, the very best broadcast of TPC that we've ever produced in the history of our show. Eddie was a huge reason for that, and he's here with us now a year later, along with special guests Rich Hamblin of Nashville and Gene Andrews of Nashville, who will be coming up later. But first, very quickly, Eddie, before we go to Rich and before we start to unpack this thing a year later, it's the anniversary of Charlottesville, and then, of course, the Unite the Right 2 rally is happening tomorrow in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about that, too. What were you doing a year ago tonight? Tell us that, and then let's go to Rich.
You know what? A year ago tonight, I was with the greatest group of men that I've ever been with. And, you know, the pride, what I really took pride in that show, of doing that show, James, you may remember, I really had very little to do with it. I spent my time like an option quarterback. I handed the mic off to all these fantastic young men. I think one of them was only 17 or 18 years old. And I just handed the mic off. And they gave eye-to-eye witness appointment. In fact, one of the kids had been beaten by the police in that park that day. And being there with Gene and Rich and Simon and those other kids, I will remember that till I go to my grave.
And that's still in our archives, ladies and gentlemen. Go back and listen to it.
I'm about to tear up now. I mean, you had to be. I mean, it was bonding. It was like being in gym or something, man. Those kids.
And you served two tours in Vietnam.
I tell you, those kids were they were just magnificent. I mean, I sat there and watched them. Then when all the hell was breaking loose, not that Gene and Rich weren't magnificent either, but I figured they were season's best. These kids never panicked one time. They never broke formation until we were overpowered. They didn't use any violence until they were attacked. I was so proud of them. And I'll tell you this right here. I have this paternal instinct, a male instinct. I like to look after people. You know, I've raised two daughters. I just have that instinct to look after people, take them under my wing. I had these kids in that compound with us, James, and they all flocked to me because you know how I'm old. I mean, I'm old enough to be their grandfather, some of them. And we had an immediate bonding. We had two old guys there. You know, we had Gene and we had Rich, we had me, and the rest of them, they get, well, like, you know, go back and listen to our Yeah, I'm old enough to be James's grandpa, man. Well, I don't know if I'm that old now, Sam. But, you know, it was just absolutely the greatest night of probably my life.
Well, I'll tell you this. How many shows have we done in 14 years? Hundreds. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds. And I remember where I was standing in the studio. I remember everything about that show that night. I remember that show so vividly as if it was yesterday. Let's go now to Rich Hamblin of Nashville. Rich, you were there along with Gene Andrews. You're talking about combat veterans who served the international banks in the Vietnam War.
Yes, we did.
And three of the best men I've ever met in my life, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Rich Hamblin, Gene Andrews. You were all there, Rich. Take us back to a year ago tonight in your mind. What was going on, and what's your reflections a year later?
Yeah, well, I want to remind everybody, I'm not quite as old as Eddie and Gene, so I didn't make it to Vietnam. But I was on the ground there, literally, in front of the Charlottesville police station with an Antifa beating me in the head and the cops standing around not doing a doggone thing about it, so... It was an exciting time. It was a trap from the get-go, set up by the Charlottesville police and the mayor and the city government as publicized in the TP report that was commissioned by the Charlottesville City Council and published a few months ago, none of which has been mentioned in the coverage, the one-year anniversary. Everybody's acting like their hair's on fire. Up there in Virginia, the new governor, Ralph Northam, has declared a state of emergency in Charlottesville, even though, as far as I know, nobody's going to Charlottesville. The rally location has been moved to Washington, D.C., which we can talk about if you want. But there's nothing going on in Charlottesville, but clever fellow, because I think he has made the state of emergency statewide. So this would include the areas that Jason Kessler, the organizer of UTR2, has set aside in Virginia across the river from Washington, D.C., for people to assemble and prior to going in groups to the rally. So conceivably, if two or three people are gathering there and with an intent to go do a political march, they may be violating the state of emergency. That's a clever fellow. And that's just the situation up there. But of all the coverage I've heard, and I happen to catch NPR broadcasts because I listen to a local station down in Murfreesboro that plays roots music, and they're an NPR affiliate, so I get the news. But the news invariably describe the Charlottesville rally as white supremacists or white nationalists, and they'll say one person was killed, or they might say three people were killed if you want to throw in those two cops that crashed in a faulty helicopter. And not mentioning a word about the officially commissioned report that said that the violence was initiated by the Antifa. It was a failure of the police department. Even quoting the chief of police is saying, "Well, let them fight it out, because that way we can declare it an illegal emergency." Now, the question of whether the same thing is going to happen this weekend remains to be seen. It's in Washington, D.C., but you never can tell.
Hold on right there, Rich. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the anniversary of the Unite the Right rally. A year ago tonight was the Tiki Torch rally at the University of Virginia. It was actually tomorrow, the 12th, was the anniversary of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. So this is the weekend of the anniversary. We have three people on our airwaves tonight during this hour that were there. Eddie Miller, Rich Hamblin, and coming up later, Gene Andrews. You're going to hear their testimony tonight. Stay tuned.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
You actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was a year ago this weekend that we broadcast what I think may have been the very best episode that TPC has ever produced. And it was anchored by Eddie Miller on the road in Virginia.
Thank you so much.
It's the truth. Live, raw, and real. Keith Alexander and I anchored it from the studio. Guests included Michael Hill, Evan McLaren, Simon Roche, David Duke, and others who, everybody who was on the show that night, except for me and
everybody.
Keith. Everybody, except for me and Keith, were there in Charlottesville. So they gave you firsthand testimony, and it really contrasted with the narrative from the controlled lying press. And now we see a year later, you have the Unite the Right Two rally, which is going to take place tomorrow in Lafayette Square Park, right across the street from the White House, at least it's supposed to. There has been a state of emergency declared, which, again, I say, I think, as far as I'm concerned in this movement, I was the first to have that declared when that happened here in 2008, the Euro conference that Duke and I were organizing. So there's that to consider, but that is happening again this weekend in Virginia. I have also seen that Uber, Lyft, and Airbnb are denying service to Unite the Right participants. The D.C. Metro, which is the subway system there, which Jared Taylor and I took to the inauguration where we sat on the front row, they are denying service to Unite the Right participants. What are we talking about here? Of course, they're saying that not the right participants are white supremacists. And I saw this article.
That's an antitrust violation.
This article in the New York Times, the Washington Post, they're interchangeable. What was it? But the gist is, like so many pumped up by the fake news media, is that white people who don't hate themselves are white supremacists. Everybody, according to the establishment press, and you can read any number of articles this weekend on the anniversary, everybody that was there was a white supremacist. They were a Klansman. They were a Nazi. If you were there and you were marching in defense of the Robert E. Lee statue, you were a supremacist, a Nazi, or a Klansman. And that was all you were, and you couldn't have been anything else.
Amen.
Now, to hell with the facts. To hell with the fact that men like Eddie Miller and Rich Hamblin and Gene Andrews. Gene Andrews, a combat veteran, a Marine in Vietnam.
Yes,
you were a combat medic.
I was Army.
Gene was a Marine. He went on to be a high school teacher for a number of years. He is an All-American, one of the
honorable men.
I'm talking about the people who were there on our side that weekend were some of the best men I ever knew. Now, when you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people, yes, I'm sure there were a few bad eggs, but do you think everybody that was there on the other side, the Antifa side, are squeaky clean choir boys, law-abiding citizens? No, they're the scum of the earth. They are the lowest form of life on earth other than members of the media.
I'll tell you something else, James. If I ever hear anybody throw any crap on the people I was with up there, I was in the compound with the best men I've ever seen. They better say it out of earshot from me, that's for sure. And I'm going to say one more thing. I want to tell all the people, I hope you people in Memphis that have ditched me because I went to Charlottesville and because you found out I don't hate myself, you know what? Don't worry about ditching me because I've already burnt my damn bridges. I wouldn't spit on you. I would not come back to you people if you beg me to come back for your friendship. I would not come back. I've burnt those bridges forever.
We have a caller, but we want to get back to Rich first. So let's keep John on ice. We'll get to him for the end of the segment. Rich is our featured guest for the first half of this hour. Go with a question for Rich. Who was there with you? A fine man, one of the best men I've ever known. Rich and Janice, I love dearly.
You got that right.
If they were good enough for Charlottesville was good enough for you, ladies and gentlemen. Go, Eddie.
Rich, I was going to ask you, which people have asked, well, why didn't we go to D.C.? Well, I said the main thing is because Simon's not coming. And we talked about this the other day, Rich. If Simon was to come, he's a foreigner. And we talked about as crooked, as corrupt as
our
government.
We're talking about Simon Roche of Sightlanders, the South African Civil Defense Initiative, which we need to be clear.
They could not only revoke his visa forever that he's worked hard for, it's good for 10 years, if I remember right, if Rich told me right. But you know what, Rich? Do you think, and I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility, they could charge him as a foreign enemy combatant, ship him to Gitmo or some other godforsaken political prisoner camp, and he'd never be seen again. What do you think about that, Rich?
Well, I'm sure they could trump up some kind of charge against him and make it stick in the court system as it is now. Believe me, I know this. But let me bring something else up. The worst thing about...
He didn't just flake out, though.
Yeah, the worst thing about this weekend's coverage is the way the mainstream, quote-unquote, conservatives are attacking it. People like Dinesh D'Souza, and Jack Prosevic and Ben Shapiro, of course, there's something in commonality there. But the viciousness. I mean, these people going online or making public pronouncements saying, "Well, instead of supporting this, why don't you make a donation to the Heather Heyer Memorial Scholarship Fund?" That died at Charlottesville because, number one, she's not very healthy, and she happened to be in a crowd part of an accident that occurred a good 2 hours after the rally was even canceled.
Yeah, it was 2 hours after the event had been called by the law enforcement.
Yeah,
until
1:30. We were told to disperse somewhere around 11 o'clock. Most of us were gone.
And Jason Kessler, by the way, Rich, not to interrupt you, my friend, but Jason Kessler had posted this weekend some of the depositions that he's been involved with, and the chief of, I believe it was the chief of police, who said, "Let them fight." So we can declare it an unlawful assembly. The chief of police, in his own deposition, said that they wanted the two opposing sides to mix it up. And that's, of course, what ensnared Heather Heyer, who appeared hours after the event had been closed to the public and everyone was ordered to disperse. She came. Maybe she had a heart attack, maybe from being obese, whatever. Maybe she did get run over. We don't know. But the fact of the matter is she shouldn't have been there. And let's let the facts come out and present themselves. But yes, indeed, you're on the right path.
Well, one thing the opposition is trying to do is hype up the hysteria. Like I said, they're acting like their hair's on fire. And this is right before the scheduled opening of the James Fields trial and also the sentencing for several of the other defendants. So, they're trying to whip up the hysteria and, to continue their narrative. As I was listening to Sam Dixon earlier, it occurred to me as very ironic that the USSR, or former USSR, and the USA have swapped positions in the world. Who would have thought, I was a young man, and you can ask Gene or Eddie, that one day Russia would become the defender of the Christian West. And that's exactly what's happened. Brother Nathaniel.
That, you know, Russia is the defender of our people and the faith of our fathers, whereas America. And isn't it interesting, Rich, that the Eastern European countries who are defending the faith are the ones that are rising. They're the nationalist tide that is rising, whereas the Western European nations who have abandoned the faith of Christianity are in an absolute free fall. We have John who's been waiting patiently, and he may have a question for you, so we want to get to him before you leave, Rich. John, very quickly, a comment or a question. John?
Yes, sir. Good evening, gentlemen. You were talking about all the hype and all the hysteria and everything, which I agree is being occurred in the media and such. And I know that I sent you an email earlier this week, Mr. E. I think that one of the things that would be to our advantage is to some kind of court filing where we could put some kind of legal argument together to give us a point of authority. Because I don't see any legal argument out there that backs us up in our position except the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which is attached to the Constitution and which is also the due process basis. So I just think that we've got a little bit of momentum, even with criticism and attacks, with the hysteria and such. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I think if anybody knows anything about the law, Planned Parenthood versus Casey is in our favor. The more social division we can create, inasmuch as even Justice Clarence Thomas stated that he does not see anything that binds us together as Americans.
John, I appreciate that. We're out of time. We're coming up on a hard break. I appreciate your call. We'll pick this up on the flip side.
I got a comment for that too, James.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we just had a call from John, a listener in California, who was talking about the litigious nature of the event surrounding Charlottesville. And we're going to wrap up with Rich, and then we're going to go to Gene Andrews, who is, of course, you'll remember from our Confederate History Month series. Anybody who's been at our events, our conferences in 2010, 2014 in Memphis, Rich has been, Gene has been a featured speaker. Rich should have been. Certainly. And Rich was there, too, for both of those events. But Gene Andrews is going to be with us. He's standing in queue. He's on deck. But we want to wrap it up with Rich first. And Rich, talking about the lawsuits, you know, a lot of the reason why so many people are not going to Unite the Right 2 that were there at Unite the Right 1, the original event, was that they are victims of lawfare and they're tied up in courts. Your response to the caller and a parting shot from you, Rich.
Yeah, I want everyone to know that there are no white pills in this situation. You know from experience, I know from experience, Gene can talk about what he experienced as an observer in court in Davidson County earlier this week. The law and precedent doesn't mean anything to these people when they're pushing their agenda. I mean, that's just a matter of fact. I mean, you know this, James. I've experienced it. And it's going on right now. So the right is no longer united. I mean, it is completely fragmented. Everybody is running for the hills. There has been a civil lawsuit about illegal paramilitary activity in Charlottesville, and every single person or group named in that lawsuit bailed. They signed the consent decree and basically surrendered their Second Amendment right. And with Kessler throwing in the towel on the permit in Charlottesville, there went the First Amendment right. The biggest problem with the UTR 2 in D.C. is that it's not about the Lee statue in Virginia. Everybody's losing sight of that. That's what the rally was about. That's why Gene went up there. That's why I went up there. My father and grandfather were named for Robert E. Lee. I kind of get upset when people besmirch his honor. So people need to understand that, you know, there's so many currents that are going back and forth behind the scenes on all this stuff, and I'm not really on top of everything, but for what I've observed from the last couple of days, and I said this before, I mean, that's basically why I decided not to go to D.C., was especially after Simon, even before Simon Roche decided not to attend, is I got no interest in, you know, in pursuing a redress of grievance against the very government that's oppressing me, you know? There's just... So people need to understand this really is a cold war that's going on, and it's liable to turn into a hot war because I don't see the opposition dropping back in it. Not in terms of lawsuits, not in terms of attacking people. The shadow banning that's going on, the actual banning that's going on at Twitter. I hate to be a pessimist, but I think Jared Taylor's going to lose his lawsuit against Twitter in California because precedents don't mean anything. And you know that well, James, in yours, because your case cited the very precedent in Michigan case law that was used as an example of what couldn't be done, but yes, they went ahead and did it to you. So that's all I've got to say. And
don't remind Rich. I was trying to forget about that, brother. Don't remind me. Hey, but thank you, Rich, for your testimony and for coming on tonight. I know we need to get to Gene Andrews, but a quick word from Eddie Miller, who again was spearheading that show a year ago tonight, and then we need to get to Gene. Thank you, Rich. We'll let you go. We'll get to Gene, but first, Eddie.
I was just so tell you, Rich, I'm so very, very proud to be a brother of yours in arms. I tell you what, your intelligence, I tell you, you know why Rich graduated from Vanderbilt. He's just told you stuff I'd had no clue of. Rich, God bless you, son. I would not trade being with you in Charlottesville for all the tea in China. I really thank you for being my friend.
Would you say the same thing to Gene Andrews, who's on the line with us now?
Of course I would.
Why don't you introduce
Gene?
Even
though he's a Marine.
Yeah, you were an Army guy. You were just a lowly combat medic.
That's right. I was just a lowly
medic. You're not Gene the Marine.
Gene got they got all the glory charging the hills with the bayonets. I charged with a medical bag.
Gene, of course, as regular listeners of this show will know, longtime caretaker of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Childhood Home in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, former Marine in Vietnam, high school history teacher for many, many years, one of the greatest men I've ever met. And that goes for everybody that we're featuring this hour. You, Eddie, Gene and Rich, who we just heard from, three of the greatest men I've ever met in my life, they were all, you were all, along with so many others, were there in Charlottesville last year. I've seen so many articles this weekend that everyone there was a white supremacist. Everyone there was a Nazi. Everyone there was a Klansman. But I would ask, is everyone on the other side, the Antifa people, were they saints? Whether they're the truth, the quasi-terrorists that they are? We've seen the parking garage incident where the person who was alleged to be the victim was, in fact, the instigator, the woman who got allegedly hit by a car. Was she really hit by a car? Did she die from a heart attack from being obese? These are questions we need to know. It makes me question. We have so many eyewitness accountings of what happened in Charlottesville that run contrary to the establishment media narrative. It makes me question whether or not other aspects of history are accurate. This is an aspect of history that I've lived through, that I saw, that I know. We know that they lie about our Confederate heroes, but are there other aspects of history that they may be lying about? Could they possibly be lying about? Maybe, I don't know. Could they possibly be lying about aspects of World War II? This is an incident in Charlottesville where we know we have eyewitnesses, people I know and love who were there, who can testify that what they saw runs 100% contrary to the narrative being put out by the media. And Gene Andrews, with that, we go to you. What were you doing a year ago tonight? What are your takeaways? What do you think about what's going to happen tomorrow?
Hey, how are you doing? Good to be on the program. And it's an honor to be on with Rich Hamlin. I'll tell you what, I really owe him an apology. When we were fighting our way out of Lee Park and back up Market Street, I was walking backwards because I was trying to cover the rear of the column. We'd been broken up into so many fragments, and these really brave black feral animals from Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks, they wouldn't fight at the front where we had the young guys up there with the helmets and shields. They waited till the column got split up and people were pushed off in different groups down these side streets. And then they would attack people from behind. And you're already talking about that guy that got attacked in the parking garage and what he did to bring that attack on himself. He ran out from the sidewalk and clubbed one of our people over the back of the head with a mag light, knocked him out, and then he took off running. That's when he got caught in that parking lot and got the living daylights beat out of him because what he had done, that cowardly act, coming up and hitting from somebody from behind. I saw that. I was about 15 feet away from that. And that's
what... Well, hold on. Right there, Gene. So every bit of establishment news outlet reporting that we've seen on this says that that particular young black male was the victim. He was assaulted by white supremacists for no good reason at all. But you're telling me you were 15 feet away from it. That's you right. Saw him attack somebody first, and then in retaliation, he was attacked in defense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
First from behind, no less. You're telling me you saw that with your own eyes. So it seems as though there's a discrepancy between your eyewitness testimony and what the people who weren't there are reporting.
And one more comment to Gene. Gene, did you see any news media within 15 feet of that? Did you see any news media within 30 yards of the place?
No, they took the feed from the Southern Pervert Law Center or whoever was handing out the news on this and just ran with it. They just made up stories and sent it out. Any story that made the white, conservative, pro-Confederate people look bad, that's what they went with. They didn't give a damn about whether it was true or not. They just went with it. The same thing about the girl that got I've seen that girl's picture that supposedly got killed by the car. I've seen the photographs of her there and the videos of her there at the event. Lord of mercy, she was over 300 pounds if she weighed an ounce. She died of a heart attack. If that car had hit something that size, it would have torn it all to pieces. You know what happens when you hit just a deer. If you hit an elephant, Lord of mercy, it would have torn that car all to pieces. So the story of her being hit by the car is another lie that the news media has been putting out there. And the picture they keep running on TV, this anniversary of Charlottesville, the picture of this, excuse me, if I get broken up here a minute, this poor innocent little girl, that's her high school picture. No, I take it back. It's probably her junior high picture. Because the thing that was there.
I have seen, hey, to back up what Gene's saying here, ladies and gentlemen, and it is the truth, I've seen the pictures that the establishment press runs versus the picture of what she actually looked like on that day from live video feeds.
Yep.
And they're unrecognizable to one another.
Didn't her own mother say she had a heart attack, Gene?
Yeah, I've heard that's what the coroner said. Don't take my word for it. It was hot that day. It was in the mid-90s. It had rained the day before. The humidity was something else. I mean, my clothes were soaking wet. And to have somebody that far overweight and out there and running around and all that mob right there. And the thing they never bring up is that boy's car had people crawling all over it, breaking out the windows with axe handles. He was under attack. He didn't just come roaring down off the interstate and zoom down Market Street and start hitting people.
Hey, they had a rifle chasing him.
Hold on right there. Yeah, right. Hang on right there, ladies. Folks, a year ago tonight, we did 3 hours on this. We should have done, we could have and should have done 3 hours on it tonight. But we got one more segment. We're gonna fill it with Gene Andrews and the one and only Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who were both there in Charlottesville. Stay tuned.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I think, man, Sam Dixon just got back from a month in Russia. We needed and should have had him on, and we did, and I'm thankful for that, and it was a fantastic hour of radio. But it's hard to argue that we shouldn't have spent 3 hours tonight on the anniversary of Charlottesville. It was perhaps our best episode ever a year ago this weekend. And three of the people who made that possible, three of the people who were there, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Rich Hamblin, and, of course, Gene Andrews, who's with us now, offering eyewitness accountings and reflections a year later. But one thing I want to talk to you about this segment, Gene,
yeah,
and Eddie, is...
I got to ask you a question in a minute, too.
Well, yeah, and this is your hour, Eddie, as far as I'm concerned. The third hour is always Eddie's hour. But I want to ask you, Gene, what you expect to happen tomorrow on the year anniversary and why you're not there, and then we'll go to Eddie.
Well, I tell you, I've got quite a few things scheduled here in Middle Tennessee going on down at the Firestone tomorrow. And you know, going all the way to D.C., that's not my favorite place anyway. I could care less what happens to D.C. If North Korea wants to start shooting missiles over and hit D.C., go for it. That's fine with me. But I don't know. I think we made a pretty good statement that what we were trying to do, I think we proved how rotten and corrupt the government of this country is when they order their police to stand down and just let a riot erupt out in the streets just for their own, liberal cause, left-wing cause, whatever you want to call it, to try to defame and discredit the conservative people in this country. It just proves how rotten a government that we have, all the way up and down the line, whether city government, state government, that governor of Virginia, that's part of the Clinton crime syndicate. He was the one that said our permit was revoked. As the Commonwealth of Virginia has revoked your permit, you have 2 minutes to clear the park, or you'll be arrested. So our permit that we had to be there at the Lee Park was revoked by that Terry McAuliffe, who's, like I said, he's part of the Clinton crime syndicate. And then we were there in the park, fenced off on three sides. We only had one way to get out. The Virginia Highway Patrol started physically pushing us out of that park and off of a 3-foot drop down off a wall back out into Market Street to face that howling mob of communist thugs and terrorists out in the street. I was trying to tell one of the Highway Patrol officers, I said, sir, look, if you'll just get us out of here, give us a way to get out, we'll get out of here. We'll be gladly get out of here. The thing he said to me, and this is a direct quote, he said, shut the F up or you're arrested, and kept pushing us out of the park. That's the Virginia Highway Patrol. That's why when we heard that the helicopter had crashed and killed two Virginia Highway Patrolmen, a huge cheer went up from our group, and a lot of people said, I wish it'd been 200 instead of two, because of what they did to us to throw us out of that park and into that mob on the street. And we're lucky we didn't get a bunch of our people killed going into that. So that's
they tried to get us.
The government and the police department.
Amen, Gene. They tried to get us killed. Gene, I got a couple of questions for you. In my opinion, what went on in Charlottesville was almost like, I can't think of a better analogy, was like a canary in the coal mine showing, I think we crossed, and I know this is another overused analogy, I think America crossed the Rubicon at Charlottesville. I think we are in a new paradigm now where there's the rule of law is no longer in action. We no longer have the protection of the rule of law. As a matter of fact, Gene, I'm going to ask you, think that the law has been changed and perverted as a weapon to club people like you and me and James and the paleo-conservative Christian white men to club us to death.
Absolutely.
And, Gene, I think
country better wake up and stop this crap about, well, it's a good old U.S. of A., and it's the freest country in the world. It's the land of the free and the home of the bull crap. It is not. It's the Soviet Union watered down. On light beer. But it's getting there.
Yeah. And another something that Gene knows more about than I do, I've talked to Gene on the phone earlier before we came on the show, I think maybe today or yesterday. Gene was telling me about a judge in Nashville gave orders to the Memphis city government where me and James live. Me and James live here in Memphis, and all hell has been going loose in Forest Park. They destroyed Forest Park, a hallowed gravesite. Then they moved the Jefferson Davis statue. I was down there 2 days ago. You can't tell a statue was ever there. Gene, now you told me a judge in Nashville ordered Memphis to stand down until the due process of law could take place for them not to touch those statues. And Gene told me that the city of Memphis thumped their nose at the judge, and that the Tennessee State Police stood down and failed to protect that park. Is that right, Gene?
Absolutely. They had an injunction against the city of Memphis not to move anything else. Of course, they moved the Jefferson Davis statue. They moved the Forrest statue out of Forest Park. And I've heard there's been quite a bit of damage done to those two statues. This fly-by-night company, they got to move them from over in Little Rock. But nevertheless, the injunction was issued against the city of Memphis to leave those statues alone wherever they are now and leave what was left in the park alone. City of Memphis just ignored the law. They went right ahead. They moved two cannons, two artillery pieces from another park that was to a Confederate major from Memphis. And like you said, they removed part of the statue, part of the base of the Jefferson Davis statue, just ignored the law. And our governor has been, went right along with it. He is supposed to be the chief executive of the state of Tennessee and enforce the law. And this lying dirtbag just let it happen. And he told his attorney general that he appoints to just stand by and let it happen. We have no government in Tennessee. It's corrupt. It's rotten to the core. The city of Memphis.
Well, I think we have that. We have that in common with Robert E. Lee's state, the state that he couldn't raise his sword against, Virginia now, and we saw what happened to y'all last year there, Gene. And that brings me to full circle here with only 3 or 4 minutes remaining. What a fantastic hour that Eddie put together tonight with both you and Rich. But we've talked about the lying press saying that everybody that was there. On the side to defend the Lee statue were Nazis and terrorists and Klansmen.
Right. I saw nobody in a Nazi uniform. I saw nobody in a Klan uniform. The media is the enemy. The media
and everybody
and
they say everybody that was there on the other side were just great all American people fighting for justice and so
That's
on and so
right.
forth. So and of course the exact opposite is true on both accounts. But Gene and Eddie, I would ask you this with.
Gene and James, right quick, like,
yeah, go.
They think in Charlottesville, in Memphis, Tennessee, what Gene just got through describing to you people what has happened is they prove they are the lawbreakers. They are the ones totally violating the law. We're not the lawbreakers there. We have been trying to be the abiders of the law.
And we talked
what
about
do y'all
that?
Think about that?
Well, we talked about that. We talked about that in Jason Kessler's depositions that the chief of police just said, hey, We ordered the cops to stand down so there would be violence so we could declare it an unlawful assembly. The cops willingly stood down. I would ask you this, though, with only 2 or 3 minutes remaining, we got to get
people like Gene and myself, we put our lives on the damn line to protect this damn country, and we have no law left in this country, y'all. You wake up!
And the law enforcement betrayed you. The state of Virginia betrayed you. The governor, Terry McAuliffe, at that time betrayed you and every law-abiding citizen that was there. But with only 2 minutes remaining, we have to talk about tomorrow. We've talked about last year for most of the hour. Tomorrow, there is a reunion rally. Most people won't be there that were there last year. There will be some people there. What do you, Gene, expect to happen tomorrow in Washington, D.C.?
Well, now, I will say this about the police in Tennessee, where we've had some of these rallies in Tennessee and where we had the American Renaissance Conference out at Montgomery Bell State Park. They had enough police there to keep the thugs and the vulgar criminals of the Antifa away from the normal people, and it went very smoothly, other than listening to all their vulgarity as you walk past them going into the meeting. I think if they have honest police, which I think that's a misnomer in this country today, but if they did have honest police there and keep the two groups apart, I don't think they're going to have any problem. But if they have crooked cops like they had in Charlottesville and the Virginia Highway Patrol and turn the communists loose on us, they'll have another riot, and maybe that's what they want.
It's a crapshoot, isn't it?
I guess we'll find out in about 12 hours' time because that's all happening. If you're listening live tonight, ladies and gentlemen, at 8:56 p.m., Central Time, this thing's going to happen tomorrow afternoon, so we're going to find out very soon. And I
think
guess
it's
we'll 50-50. Talk about
what do y'all
week.
Think? I think it's 50-50. It could be an all-out bloodbath because Antifa, what I've heard, my intelligence says that the Antifa has pledged an all-out holy war against us.
I don't know how many people Jason Kessler is going to be able to rally tomorrow under the circumstances. You've heard Airbnb, the D.C. Metro, all other people are discriminating against them for being white people who don't hate themselves. Gene, final word to you, and we have seconds remaining.
Well, thank you for your time, and I hope you get the word out. And I do hope they have a successful rally tomorrow. It remains to be seen how our corrupt government is going to handle this. I wouldn't bet against them trying to pull some kind of shenanigans and try to turn their thugs loose on us, and the police just stand there with their thumb up their posterior or something like that.
Folks, we needed 6 hours tonight between Sam Dixon, Gene Andrews, Rich Hamlin, Eddie the Bobadier Miller. It was a fantastic night, and we'll do it again next week. Let's stay tuned and see what happens tomorrow, and we'll talk about it a week from tonight. Gene, thank you. God bless you. Eddie, love you.
Bless you, brother.
Talk to everybody next week. Good night.